T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I think most level-headed, even-keeled Steelers fans might be looking at Sunday as you drive home and get into your weekend and start thinking about your tailgate plans and everything you're going to be doing for the game, Chris, and you know, thinking, all right, yeah, the offense played like crap and the line is a disaster, but we're 1-1. This is exactly where I thought we would be. Lost to the Bills, beat the Raiders. Okay, those things got flipped. But the record is not astray from, or hasn't veered away from, what the preseason expectations were for the Steelers. Sunday's game and the outcome of the game against the Bengals could change that if it's a loss. Let me ask you this question. Do you think the Bengals are a playoff team?
No.
Me neither. I like Burrow a lot. He threw 3 interceptions on 3 consecutive plays against the Bears. Now, one of those was not his fault, where he just got like killed and the ball got tipped up in the air and it got picked off.
The just got killed part is kind of relevant there to the discussion.
He got sacked 5 times and their line stinks. And plus, I don't think he's fully back from his ACL tear. So even though I think he has the potential to be an MVP award-winning quarterback and a great one, there's still a lot of issues with that team. They won 4 games last year. They won 2 games the year before that. The Bengals have suffered from, they've had a losing season 5 straight years. They're not good. Ben Roethlisberger and Mike Tomlin as a tandem are 11-3 at home against the Bengals. The only 3 times they've lost to Cincinnati at Heinz Field, the Bengals went on to make the playoffs in all 3 of those years.
I seem to recall a very bad late pass from Ben Roethlisberger and then a
2012.
Yeah, I remember that one well.
Yeah.
That one hurt.
Yep, it did. But when they've lost at home to Cincinnati, it is
Lose to quote-unquote good Bengals teams. They don't lose to bad Bengals teams at home.
They lose to Marvin Lewis teams that then find a way to play dead in a Western in the playoffs. You know, like,
yes.
Yes. They don't lose to rebuilding Bruce Coslett-esque, Kajana Carter-esque Bengals teams.
If they're going to lose to Ryan Finley, it's damn well going to be in Cincinnati.
But you know, like,
yes,
if you give away a home game to the Bengals, that means you're going to have to...
You've upended the calculus of the season that fans thought was going
to
exist.
You've got to go there later in the year and win to make up for it.
When Burrow's knee might be better.
Right, but I think in reality, the team in the division, there's no more 0-16 Browns. Even though the Bengals have potentially a great quarterback, they're the team in the division that if you're good, you sweep.
Correct.
You should be sweeping this team.
Correct.
So that's where I think, you know, there are still, I think, a lot of Steelers fans that, despite how Ben has looked and what's going on with the offensive line and the injuries, don't want to panic yet and want to fall back on 1-1. If the Steelers lose this game, then I think even those fans will have a hard time convincing themselves that everything's going to be all right. This game, I think, if the Steelers win, it's a sigh of relief exhale game. It's, okay, we're all right. Now if we go to Green Bay and lose next week, it's okay. We'll be 2-2 through 4 games, which is, again, right in line with what people thought we would be through 4 games.
I guess I kind of disagree with the... Well, here's how I look at it. We don't look at box scores only. Obviously, fans don't. So they know that even though you expected to be 1-1, like, the method how you got here was highest of highs and then, oh, crap, really? A loss to the Raiders? I look at this game as the sigh of relief you will breathe if they beat the Bengals, even if they look good in doing it. Unless the offense suddenly shows an ability to move people off the ball and like dictate terms, unless that happens, and even if it does, it still might apply here. The sigh of relief would be much less like freeing than the feeling of dread will be if they lose. Does that make sense? Beating the Bengals does not like make me think, oh, this team has cured all that ails them. Losing to the Bengals, on the other hand, makes me go, oh, God. You're staring down the barrel of Rodgers, a really good Denver defense, and Russell Wilson.
They have more to lose than they have to gain in this game.
Absolutely more to lose than they have to gain. I mean, you win this game, and then you go, okay, worst-case scenario, 2-4 heading into a bye week. But very plausible 2-4. You lose this game, it feels more dire if you lose this game, in my opinion, than 2019 did. And I know they started that season wretchedly.
And then they used the Bengals game to get themselves back on track after they started 0-3.
It would actually
even without Ben.
It would actually be worse to me because you would theoretically have been through all of this.
I think the Steelers, I don't see really any scenario in which they go like 5-12 this year, like something terrible. I think there will be a rally and a run for them at some point.
Where is it on the schedule, dude?
The thing about losing a game like this is if you are already 0-2 at home, now you play 9 home games and 8 road games, but still, if you are losing to teams like the Raiders and Bengals at home, 2 non-playoff teams from a year ago, who can you really chalk up as an automatic win? Maybe the Lions and Bears at home, and that's really it.
Hold on, though. Hold on. You say that. They got the bye at Cleveland. You figure right now is going to be a loss because it's on the road. But look at the Bears on November 8th from like right now. Justin Fields, if he ends up being what they hope he can be, he'll have not settled in. He'll still be a young quarterback. He'll still be playing on the road in prime time. But he's dangerous. There is not a soft 3 or 4 game portion of this schedule when you look at it. Where you go, oh yeah, this team can make some hay.
As we sit here right now.
Yes, I mean, but that's all we can do is judge it right now.
I know, but if the defense plays like it did in Buffalo, if they do that to I think, a potentially great quarterback, even with their offensive line issues, if they hold the Bengals to like 10 points on Sunday, then I will come in here on Monday and say, they used the same blueprint that they did to beat Buffalo, and they're going to need this defense to continue to do this all year because I don't know about their offense.
Well, okay,
but that's
so
a formula that could maybe win you 9 games, Chris.
I mean, seems aberrant right now? So through 2 games, you've seen the offense. Is it fair for me to say the following? Through 2 games, if you're breaking down each side of the ball, 2 bad games offensively by and large by them? I mean, they had 252 yards of offense against the Bills. Let's not try to act like they were moving it up and down the field.
They had a touchdown on a blocked punt.
They played pretty well in offense in the second half. They had about 200.
They didn't have any punts.
Yeah, they had 200 yards, but that's 30 minutes of good football, right?
Well, that's just like the Colts game last year.
I understand that.
They played offensively.
And I would not have called that a great offensive game. They cashed
okay,
in more
so
in that game.
So they played 8 quarters of football offensively. They played 2 good ones and 6 bad ones.
Okay.
Right? Is that fair? 2 good ones and 6 bad ones.
Fair, yes. Now, here's what I'm trying to get at here, though. So they've played 2 good quarters of offense.
25% of the time they've played
quarters.
Well. Yep.
And their defense has played 4 good quarters, great quarters even.
Great.
And I would argue 3 to 4 bad quarters.
Yeah, the thing about the performance against the Raiders, though, is that I believe it is okay to chalk that up to you lost your best defensive player in the middle of the game, which blows up everything. If the Rams lost Aaron Donald in the first half,
I would be disappointed in them if the Rams lost Donald or Ramsey, either one of those guys who's that transformative.
But the Steelers had already lost Bush and Hayden before the game. That's what makes it even. And Aluwalu went down in the fourth play. Like they get not a total free pass, but they like I did not come up. I have
still
not
the Raiders,
really. They lit up Baltimore that had the second ranked defense in the league last year. Like, I have not at all this week. I have not. The only thing I've criticized about their defense is I don't think it made sense to blitz a rookie 7th-round defensive back on 3rd-and-10, which left a first-round burner wide receiver on a guy that you traded for like 15 minutes before the season started. That was a terrible call.
Don't you expect
by
your
Mike
free
Tomlin
safety,
and Keith Butler.
Don't you expect your free safety to fix it?
But he's dialed in on Waller. I mean, that, like, he needed to come back and make a tackle on Ruggs, but I understand why Minka was laser-focused on Waller on that play. Because you figure 3rd and 10, Carr is going to go to the guy that's his main man in that situation. I get that. So
I guess my point here that I'm trying to make sure I get across, we're 2 games in. They've played 2 good offensive quarters. I would argue they've played at least 3 or 4 mediocre defensive quarters. Is it injury-related? Sure.
Of course it is.
Sure. But it still is what it is. Injuries are part of football. It's trending more bad than good for me right now. Just on the sheer number of bad and good quarters they've played on each side
of
the ball.
Well, yeah, because what have you done for me lately? You saw them lose their last game at home.
But I have I've seen the offense play great, or I've seen the defense play great against Buffalo, and then, yes, be injury-riddled and hopefully get themselves back to healthy here and resume form, which I presume they will eventually. But I haven't yet seen their offense show me they can do anything, really. So that gives me pause here. The one thing that makes the Bengals interesting is if they keep the quarterback upright somehow, if Zach Taylor's not so brain dead that he doesn't realize the key to them being good is to find some ways to get Joe Burrow out of the pocket and away from harm.
Yeah, but he's got a bum knee, Chris.
I know. But if they keep him even remotely upright, they have plenty of pieces to beat the Steelers.
I honestly think there's a chance in this game, given the offensive line and given the injury status or health status of both quarterbacks, I think there's a decent chance that one of the two quarterbacks doesn't finish the game. I do.
I mean, like none of our listeners really seem to think Ben's going to last all 17.
Right, I mean, and Ben miraculously got to the point where he wasn't even hindered at all in practice today, which is a good sign. You know, Roethlisberger has a history in moments like this of rising up. We'll see if he can channel.
Brandon Allen, Mason Rudolph. Who do you like there?
We'll see if Ben can channel old school Ben, where when he has some kind of physical malady, he finds a way to not only be good, but find a way to be better.
Okay, how many physical maladies has... Okay, funny you say that. He did that all when he was in his earlier 30s or 20s.
He did it last year at one point. Remember, he had the injury in the Dallas game, and then I think the next week against the Bengals, he threw for 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, but then that knee started to deteriorate, and we didn't hear it on the injury report, but it was obviously an injury.
Yep.
And look what happened. It took a little bit longer than maybe it would have otherwise, but then they hit a wall, dude.
We have heard, I think, from a lot of people that we've talked to this week, as the injuries have been more apparent and the offensive line problems have sunk in, I think I've heard more people that are like, it's so funny. It's like people understand that the Steelers are not in a great situation right now, but they can't bring themselves to pick the Bengals to win the game. And I'm that's the same way I'm feeling. Because
I'm not.
But the reason why I'm not
It's weird to me. Hold on. It's weird to me that you can't bring yourself
you
to
know
that
why?
Because you love
Burrow.
Not like. You love Burrow. But you think he is clearly going to have the best career of any of these three young guys.
But bungles are going to bungle.
Man, and you're going to fall into the juju trap and apply it to the Bungles?
Yes.
They beat, I know you're going to tell me home and road, and it's totally different. They freaking walked Ryan Finley into their building last year.
You know how many?
Whoop, not beat. They humiliated
the Steelers. Do you know how many road games Burrow has won in his career so far?
Fine.
0.
Great.
But I don't think that's a Burrow problem. I think that's a Bengals problem.
How many has he played in his whole career? He played 10 games last year, and he's played 2 so far
this
year.
Probably 5 or 6.
Okay.
He does have a tie on the road. I just think what happens a lot of the time, and this is what became clear to me as we got closer to kickoff, from, I would say, Monday to Thursday, when you do this job, you mostly isolate in on the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's like a super big game, and you're like right from the time you get on the air Monday, you're already thinking about who they're playing and the matchup right from like the beginning
Ravens
of the week.
Ravens week and a Patriots week,
you know,
are the 2 big ones.
Yeah, like that.
Browns week is turning into that a little bit.
Like, so I didn't really turn the page to the Bengals until today. They've got a ton of problems too.
I know. I saw you watching your game pass in the back.
And they weren't as good on paper as the Steelers when the season started. So that's what I'm mindful of. Like, the Bengals are coming in here dragging ass too. They're going to start a guy that's never played in the NFL at guard. their interior of their offensive line already sucked out loud to begin with.
Who has played two better overall quality opponent? If you take quality of opponent
Steelers,
into account. Really?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, the Bengals have played the Vikings and the Bears. The NFC North stinks.
Vikings, you were the one who said yesterday, though, could easily be 2-0.
They should be, yeah.
And the Bears have a good Khalil Mack. I mean, they got some players on
They've
that
got
side.
A defense.
Eddie Jackson.
But I watched that game. Andy Dalton came right downfield and looked like Andy Dalton out of 2011 against the Bengals defense before old man, like being in your 30s set in and he like tripped and like tore his hamstring or something.
And you're talking about Ben Roethlisberger like he's going to have his peck injury put on the cape?
I will be my honest-to-goodness prediction on Ben is that he will play decently in this game. It's not going to blow us away. But I think even if Watt is down for this game, I expect the defense to do a number on Burrow. I do.
Do you think Watt plays yes or no right now?
Yes. I think he's going to feel the pressure to play. But I think unlike the Bills game, I think in this game he will be on a pitch count. I think he'll be on much more of a pitch count for this game than he was against Buffalo.
If he is on a significant pitch count or doesn't play, I do not think they can win the game.
Well, you think they can. You're just not picking them to.
I shouldn't say I don't think they are physically capable of ever winning it. If he doesn't play or he plays 25 to 30 snaps and it's really keep TJ on mostly on ice, don't risk him. I think they will lose this football game.
Text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text on Edgar Snyder reminds you to text responsibly. Coming up, Jeff Hathorn from Steelers practice. He got the good news on Ben, the good news on guys like Hayden and Bush, which I think also is a significant factor in this game. Both of those guys coming back. 5:31, time to get to Archie's and grab their 80-cent wings. Fan Hotline, presented by Nemacolin. Now I'm something like Zeiss. I'm just doing read after read. Around every corner, Nemacolin creates real-life magic for guests. Steelers and Bills on Sunday. Jeff Hathorn got a sneak peek today. He was over at Steelers headquarters. T.J. Watt questionable, Jeff. Limited with a groin on Friday. For Steelers players last week, that meant sitting out the game Sunday, right?
It did. Although I think Joe Hayden was legit a game time decision. Like, I think they really put him through, because when he was going through warmups, I thought he was going to play. Mm-hmm. Like, he looked like he was good enough. And I think last minute they just went, you know what, let's not rush this. I really think that is a perfect designation for Watt right now, because it could go either way. He said he's had enough work during the week. You know, he's been very limited. So I really think he'll see how he feels on Sunday, and they'll go from there.
Do you think there's any pressure, Jeff, on him because of the contract, maybe because of other things that he feels like he's got to go
Smith
back?
Smith being out.
Yeah, there's game situations, there's other injury situations, there's the contract. Do you think that that's going to contribute to T.J. Watt's decision here?
He says it won't. I think as much as they would want him out there, I think this, if they're smart, they look at Highsmith and they say, okay, right before the opening week, he had a groin injury, was listed with the groin.
Yep.
He went out and played 2 weeks, and now he's out. What do we want to have T.J. Watt, our most valuable defensive player, do we give him a week and let this rest, or do we risk an injury that has absolutely the ability to come back on you, risk it lingering throughout the season? My gut says that they're going to be cautious with TJ. I don't think we'll see him Sunday.
And Chris said that he thinks that spells disaster for the Steelers. I'm not as pessimistic for them if he doesn't play, in part because they are getting Bush and Hayden back, Jeff.
Yeah, if it's the Bills, I feel a lot worse about it. But it's not a great offensive line they're facing. And you mentioned they get those two guys back. I don't think, you know, Jahmyr Jones isn't anywhere near obviously as good as T.J. Watt and as good as Melvin Ingram is. It is a different defense when T.J. Watt's not out there.
And if he's out, then I guess Charlton has to play a little bit, right?
I'm thinking that they're calling up Taco. Yeah, from just my feeling of looking at rotations and experience. And here's the thing. You know, Keith Butler said we're going to have to limit the defense if we were to put Taco in there. I think you can just have 10 guys run a defense. You run Taco out there and say, try to hit that guy. And that's all you need to do. He doesn't need to know. He doesn't have to drop back in coverage. He just needs to know that, and in obvious passing situations, go get the quarterback.
Wouldn't you say, Jeff, that anybody that played at Taco Charlton's alma mater can only handle so much on their plate like that?
Oh, here we go.
I'll say this, my observation.
Oh, God.
What?
That was a Seibel-esque thing to do there.
I just thought that I'd really throw was. A bone towards Jeff. The old rivalry. Oh, you never graduate.
Yeah, they're smart kids. Well, I can't say what I think of them.
Anyway, here's something I said earlier in the show. We haven't really come back to it, but I'll bring it up with you, Jeff. The one other sort of sidebar to all of this injury talk on the defense that I think is like a commentary on where we are with this team right now, and I know a lot of this is because of their offensive line being so bad, but in years past, if they were playing the Bengals, the Steelers were, and they had a lot of injuries to the defense, you wouldn't even bat much of an eyelash at it because you'd say they're going to beat the Bengals because they've got the better quarterback to such a degree that it won't matter what other things they have to overcome. He is the X factor. He's the trump card. And I don't feel that way about this game, partly because of him, but largely because of the offensive line.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comparison, especially the last couple of years when the Bengals have fallen off. But, you know, you would have thought that they would have won that game on Monday night last year. And they were out physical. I think, you know, people may remember the hit on Juju or remember Ben struggling in that first half. But the thing that really stuck out to me is, like, they got bullied around by the Bengals in that game. So the last time these two teams played, the Steelers were bullied by Cincinnati. And Cincinnati's added to that defense. I think the physicality of the Bengals is going to be an issue for this Steeler offense. And, you know, obviously the offense has had issues to begin with.
I did not expect, based on the way the week started, Tomlin, Ben, pec injury. We'll see what happens. Post-Gazette, Ben's going to have pain on every throw. Ben talks on Wednesday. Well, we'll see what happens. He goes into painstaking detail about, like, you know, when I get up off the ground and, you know, if I move around, it hurts. I did not expect, after putting those clues together, that by Friday he wouldn't be limited at all in practice, Jeff.
Well, I like to say that I was surprised, but, you know, this is a storyline that's repeated itself a few times. And I think that speaks as much to as tough as Ben is as, you know, maybe other thoughts.
Aspects of his personality as pertaining to injuries.
But, I mean, he knows this is his last year. I mean,
what?
You sure about
that?
Wow.
That's a eyebrow-raising comment.
That's my opinion. I believe he knows it's his last year, and he wants to play. He wants to get out there. He knows how important this game is. Listen, I'm sure you guys have discussed this. You go down, you're 1-2 on the season. You go up to Green Bay, and you got a couple other games. You know, a Denver team that's playing well, a Seattle team that's.
Oh,
you think this Cleveland?
Jeff, you think this Bengals defense has some physicality? That Denver defense will eat them alive if their offensive line isn't improved. Great defense.
October is going to be a tough month, and if you don't get this one, and I think that's playing into – that may be playing into the factor with TJ when all is said and done, but I definitely think it plays in for Ben. Ben's been around. He knows how important this game is. He's going to get out there and play.
Man, it had to be frustrating being over there, and I know there's only so much you can say and report on it, Jeff, but it had to be frustrating being over there this week and seeing Deontay Johnson – can't even practice, can't even do limited exercises, is just completely out because he got injured on a pointless play at the end of last week's game.
Especially when we thought on Monday that it wasn't that bad. At least that's what we were led to believe, that the injury wasn't
that's
so
right.
bad.
NFL Network made it sound like it was just a minor ticky-tack
right.
thing. Yep.
So we kind of expected to see him out there Wednesday, and then we thought maybe Thursday, and then we thought maybe today. Listen, I'm old school in this regard. You know, growing up, our coaches, you know, we were always, you play, you know, if you're down, you know, 3 touchdowns, you'll still onside kick with 10 seconds left. Like, I get that mentality, but as you get older, and coaches obviously are older, more experienced, like, you can't do that, especially at the NFL level. Like, it's a big mistake to be down a couple of scores with 10 seconds left. If you're going to run a pass, run
I think
it with your backup
just,
quarterback.
You kneel the ball. Kneel the ball. Like, you say that, Jeff, that you're old school. I get it at the high school level. I could even understand to some degree, a lesser one, at the major college level, you want to send, like, a basic message. But These are paid pros. This isn't Joe Judge or Dan Campbell. But, this is Mike Tomlin.
But Moat speculated that sometimes those guys want their stats. And that's why they stay in the game. They want to add to their passing yards or receiving yards or whatever.
I know. It's just dumb.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I was going to say that may be the case, but I think most of those guys, you know, they know the game is over. They don't want to be out there, and they're just kind of getting a token catch and probably thinking about heading to the sidelines.
So I'm seeing Trey Turner talk today. Did he apologize for spitting on a guy?
He did.
Okay.
He did. He stood up, and you know what he said is he really appreciated Tomlin having his back and that he gained a lot more respect for Tomlin for the way he handled it. He wouldn't go into detail, but you could tell there was remorse and that there was more to it. Like, he knows that he did some things that were wrong in that scenario.
Did he back off the idea that he was spit on first or no?
He didn't. He wouldn't get into it.
Gotcha.
But he did say he had a ton of people across the league that came out and supported him, which he said was, you know, he was very grateful of, because obviously there were some people that weren't, especially with, you know, the film that we see looks like a one-sided.
Yep.
Unless the ghost of Bill Romanowski appeared on the field and hawked a loogie at him. Like, I still don't understand that, but whatever.
Jeff, give us now, after watching things this week, if you think the Steelers are going to win, and if so, what do you think will be the biggest reason why?
Man, I thought the Steelers would be 2-2, but I'm 0-2 in predicting, you know, how these outcomes are going to be. I guess I believe enough in getting Bush and Hayden back, and that I'm still blinded enough that it's Cincinnati, in quotes, that they can find a way at home. But I think it's going to be a field goal game. I do. I think this is going to be a tight game. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. But I think the more experienced quarterback, that Ben will make a throw or make a play, whether it's to Claypool. Maybe this is the time for James Washington to make himself a new contract. I don't know. But that I think something like that will happen.
How about Ebron? He gets a new pair of hands.
Oh, let's not talk miracles here, Pony.
By the way, Trey Turner was asked today who the loudest teammate he's ever been with, and he said Ebron by far. So there you go.
How about the guy who passive-aggressively likes tweets criticizing him? Does Ebron take the cake there, too?
Probably.
Gotcha. All right, Jeff. Have fun with Akron on Saturday.
Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you.
Jeff Hathorn.
Watch Jim Colony try to get a victory at Heinz Field tomorrow.
Oh, boy.
Wait a minute. He works for the flagship home of the Pitt Panthers, and he's going to be...
Oh, he's a UNH grad.
Well, hold on a second. When I've talked to Borghetti and the higher-ups here... And I say, I'm a Syracuse grad. That doesn't fly with them. They still say that I need to toe the company line when it comes to Pitt.
Yeah, but
why the hell does that not apply to Colony?
Because everyone hates Syracuse.
Jim's not covering the game. Jim's going as a fan.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I've turned down opportunities to be on the sideline at Syracuse games.
Hey, what kind of a shirt are you wearing on video right now on the flagship home of the Pitt Panthers?
What kind of sweatshirt are you wearing right now?
One that says 93.7 The Fan, the flagship home of the Pitt Panthers. What's that shirt you're wearing? Who's on it?
Maybe they should go to the 93.7thefan.com video cam and find out,
Malzie. Oh, interesting.
How about that? Jeez.
Very interesting.
Have a good weekend,
I mean, we
guys.
Employed Hagman for a long time, so.
That's true. Chris Mack is a Penn Stater.
No, he roots for a good game when they play.
Yeah, he slices it right down the middle.
He actually
absolute
said that to
cowardice.
Me once in a debate on things. He roots for a good game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.